be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is taken from the last book written by Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Torah, the Law. The last of his books was the book of Deuteronomy, which is in Latin, the second law. The children of Israel, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, were about to enter into the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. Moses was at the end of his life, 120 years old. He would not be allowed to enter into the land with the people. And as their not only leader, but as their pastor, Moses had final words for the people of God. And these words were both an encouragement and a warning. 40 years earlier, the people of God stood at the entrance to the land promised them. But when the 12 spies came back, they were afraid to go in because the people living in that land were so numerous and so powerful. They had no army. So God said, okay, you won't enter in. And he said, furthermore, you're going to wander in this desert for 40 years until the present generation entirely dies off. No one, except for Joshua and Caleb, would enter into this land who were 20 years or older. 1 Corinthians tells us, as a result of Israel's unbelief, the desert was littered with their carcasses. They died without seeing the rest promised by God to his people. And so Moses, after putting up with his people, their complaining, their whining, their unbelief, their idolatry, their sexual immorality, puts a choice before God's people. In the name of God, Moses says to them, this is what God says to you. You've got a choice. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you. But if your heart turns away and you will not listen, you shall surely perish. Moses was telling God's people, your choices have consequences. And this is what's missing from people's lives today. It said that the young people, this is of every generation, think they are invincible. And so they don't really believe that the choices they make will affect them. But what makes it worse is that when times are prosperous and good, there's sometimes, and it happens in our families, and it has happened in our country, that there is a lack of responsibility, a lack of realization that the choices you make will have consequences. And sometimes parents shelter their children from the consequences of their actions. And they grow up not believing that there will be any consequences to their behavior. people's financial problems basically are there because people make choices without thinking of the consequences. Or to put it another way, the short-term benefit is sometimes pursued without even a thought of the long-range consequences. So easy credit, credit cards, spending beyond your means, they will have consequences. But there are many other things that you do which will have long-range consequences. Whether it's drugs or drinking, whether it's a lifestyle that's completely contrary to God's word, whether it's the pursuit, the mad pursuit of pleasure, all of these things will have long-term consequences to you and to your lives. And all too often, by the time you realize these consequences, it's too late. That's bad enough that the bad choices you now make will have bad earthly consequences for you in your life to come. Moses tells God's people what's even worse is that if you make bad spiritual choices, you're going to have bad eternal consequences. And so Moses, and we're in the last chapters of his last book, his address to his people. Moses sets forth before the people of God as they're about to enter into the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Choose today. Choose life. Choose death. Choose blessing or choose cursed. Our section, Darren sent me yesterday, part of this section was a different section, but it has the same message. Our text this morning is taken from the 30th chapter of Moses' address to the people as recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to be reading from verse 9 through 14, as you find it in your bulletins. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And these are pastor's words to God's people through the mouth of Moses. Sometimes, especially if things are going tough in our lives, or like the children of Israel, we have grievously sinned against God, our sins overwhelm us. And we wonder if God could ever love us, if we could ever return to God and be accepted by him. Moses begins this section by reminding us in verse 39 that God wants to bless you. You start with a very simple premise. God does not want to punish you. And sometimes people try to frighten people into the kingdom of God by portraying God as this angry God who's out to get you. God wants nothing more than to bless you as His people, to bless you in the work of your hands, the fruit of your body, your descendants, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. God wants to again rejoice over you, He tells the children of Israel, just as He rejoiced over your fathers. And so Moses calls upon God's people, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, about to enter into the land of promise. He reminds them of God's desire to bless them. But He says the choice is yours. You notice verse 10. The Lord will bless you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and the statutes which are written in this book of the law. Now, like the rich young, or like the lawyer would be say, well, what do I have to do? Do I have to keep God's law in order for Him to bless me? No. You notice that Moses here says to keep the commandments and statutes which are written in the book of the law. That's that term we used earlier, the Torah. The book of the law are the first five books of the scriptures written by Moses. The law and the prophets are the Old Testament. So this does not refer to that law of God which commands us and exposes us as sinners, but it refers to the Word of God as recorded by Moses. For a minute, what's in the command of the will of God as revealed in the first five books of the Bible? The basic revelation is the gospel message of a loving Father who has prepared forgiveness for His wayward children. Genesis 3, promise of the seed of the woman who crushed the head of Satan. Genesis 12, the promise to Abraham, in your descendant all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Vacation Bible School, the theme is going to be pictures of Jesus from the Old Testament. Think of the rich pictures of God's forgiveness contained in the book of Exodus and Leviticus. Pictures of deliverance from death through the blood of the Passover lamb. Pictures of the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of those innocent lambs. The Day of Atonement with the scapegoat and the offering on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. To keep the commandments of the book of the law is to simply believe God's promises of forgiveness. To live secure in God's love and God's grace. And the last half of verse 10, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is faith. To turn to God with the faith and trust that God loves you and God forgives you. And this will be revealed in the choices that you make. The spiritual choices. Remember the lawyer? We summarize the law correctly. You shall love God with all everything you have, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But even he, in his self-righteousness, felt, this is too hard. I can't do it. And he was right. But Moses says, this commandment to live live in the will of God is not, verse 11, too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. The Hebrew almost has the idea, this command that God gives you is not too hard. It's easy, in a sense, because it is faith. Nor is this command hidden, far off, of someplace you can't even find it. He says, you don't have to send somebody up to heaven to bring this to you, that you may hear it and do it. You don't have to go way across the sea to have somebody bring it to us, that we may hear it or do it. He says in verse 14, the word is near you. Is that too simple for you? You don't have to go on some pilgrimage to find peace with God. You don't have to do all of these outward things in order to find your God. Because God is in the Word. What's that special name that John gave to the promised Savior? In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is called the Word because the embodiment of the Scriptures is revealed in Him. The Word is near you. The children of Israel had the Word of God given through Moses. Nothing hard, nothing mysterious, nothing afar off. For Moses says, that word is near you. Every time they heard the words of the law, the book of the law, read, God was there. Every time the sacrifices were offered according to the word, God was there. During their wilderness journey and all the problems they ran into, and in spite of their hard-headed, obstinate, stubborn unbelief, the Word was there. And where the Word was, the Savior God is. As a pastor, I urge you to realize that choices do make a difference. Choices have consequences. You can go your own way and you will suffer the consequences. You can follow Jesus and you will suffer the good consequences. What's important today is that the Word is near you. Will you, as the children of Israel, ignore that word? Trample on that word? Disobey that word? Or will you, like the remnant of believers, Father Abraham, hear the word, believe it, keep it, follow it, live it? Today I can stand before you and say in our congregation, the word is near you. What makes it even sadder, there are so many that won't even want to hear or regularly hear that word. Every Sunday, God's word is near you. It's near you in the sermons, in the order of service. It's near you in the Bible classes. The word is near to your children. It's near to them in Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, our Christian day school. The Word is near you in your homes. I'd be willing to bet, it better be true, that every home has a Bible in it. But do you listen? What choices do you make when it comes to hearing the Word of God and keeping it? And the word being near to you can't just be an outward thing that you come here and you listen with one ear, you get a little quiet time. The word has to be heard and listened to and believed. What does Moses say? The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart that you may do it. You should be a people of the word. That by your mouth you express to others the saving message of salvation which has been revealed to you. It's interesting, in the Greek, the word conversation is more than just the talk. It's your whole lifestyle. The word is near you. It's God, the Spirit, as He did on Pentecost, put that word in your mouths. But more important, that word is also in your heart. By nature, our hearts are black. Out of the heart, Jesus says, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. The list goes on. But now the word is in your heart through the Spirit, and you have a new heart. And now God, through the Spirit, speaks to your heart gracious words of life and forgiveness. And that word changes your heart. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. James says, faith without works is dead. It's just talk. But faith in the heart will lead you to hear the word of God and keep it, guard it, treasure it in your hearts. So Moses concludes this 30th chapter by reminding you, and I remind you as your pastor today, the choice is yours. What does Moses say? He says, see, verse 15, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I have set before you life or death, blessing or curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your children may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days. Every day you're on this earth is a choice. Life or death. Blessing or curse. Faith or unbelief. But don't think that the choices you make don't have consequences. They do. So Moses, pastor to the people of God, died. And his people, God's people, went into that land promised to Abraham. Probably in some ways, maybe it was a good thing. Moses died because the history of Israel is not very promising. As they turned God's grace and forgiveness into self-righteous pride and works and unbelief and idolatry. And yet God continued to reach out to this people as He reaches out to you today. The choices you make have consequences. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts. and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.